Welcome to the podcast for St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church and School, Sherman Center. That's in Random Lake, Wisconsin, north of Milwaukee and south of Sheboygan. We're pleased to share with you recent sermons and Bible classes from our congregation. We welcome you to join us for Divine Service Sundays at 9:30 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We have Bible classes currently offered at 8:15 a.m. on Sunday. Join us to receive the Lord's Word and His gifts.
Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our consideration is the appointed gospel lesson for this Sunday from John chapter 4. That lesson concerns the healing of the official's son at Capernaum and concludes with these words, "So he asked them the hour when he began to get better. And they said to him, 'Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him.'" The father knew that this was the hour when Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." And he himself believed, and all his household. This was now the second sign that Jesus did when he had come from Judea to Galilee. You may be seated. There are no miracles in the Gospel of John. What I mean by that statement is that the Apostle John never makes use of the noun miracle in his Gospel account. Instead, he uses the word sign in place of the noun miracle. It is generally agreed that there are seven signs recorded by John as having been performed by Jesus of Nazareth. There is, however, some disagreement precisely what those seven signs are. For example, Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead is generally agreed to be the seventh and final sign in John, but there are those who argue that Jesus' own resurrection from the dead is also a sign. Because you may remember when the Jews demanded from Jesus a miraculous sign in order to prove his authority, our Lord Jesus Christ replied, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." Well, regardless of those differences in identifying the precise seven signs in John's gospel account, there are two signs that are definitely clear. John identifies Jesus' changing of water into wine at Cana as the first of his miraculous signs. That's in chapter 2. And then in chapter 4, John identifies the healing of the official's son at Capernaum as the second miraculous sign that Jesus performed. It is the second sign that we consider today as we explore both what this sign means and also its significance, both for those then and for us today. John, the gospel writer, informs us that Jesus had just spent 2 days in Samaria, and now he is leaving that geographical area for Galilee. The time in Samaria, although only 2 days, was spectacularly successful. It appears that many people in the entire town of Sychar had turned to Jesus as the Messiah and the Savior of the world. The focus there is not on his miracle-working power, but rather on the word of Jesus. In fact, John tells us that the residents of Sychar confessed this, "We have heard him for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world." This happened to be a better response than anything that Jesus had ever gotten from his own Jewish people. You will also remember that Galilee is the very place where Jesus grew up, namely in Nazareth. And about 10 miles north of Nazareth is Cana, where Jesus turned the water into wine. And about 15 miles northeast of Cana is Capernaum, the city where the official lived with his sick son. So then Galilee is Jesus' homeland in a very special sense. But Jesus has now left Samaria, which was not his homeland, and he has turned back to his own home area. Now, John also tells us that the reason why Jesus was going back to Galilee. John says that after 2 days he departed for Galilee, for Jesus himself had testified that a prophet has no honor in his own hometown. In other words, Jesus was coming again to his own people, knowing that they don't believe him, they don't understand him, they don't honor him for who he is. This is really nothing new in John's gospel account. In chapter 1, verse 11, we read, "He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him." John does tell us, however, that because of the signs that Jesus had performed at the Passover feast in Jerusalem, there were many from Galilee who had seen those signs. However, it appears that they were more interested in his signs and wonders than they were in discovering exactly who he was and why he was performing those special signs. So that then brings us to our gospel text for today. We are told that in Capernaum there was an official whose son was ill. When this man heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went to him, apparently that is, to Cana, and the official asked him to come down and to heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So Jesus said to him, "Unless you," and that "you" is plural, "unless you all," referring obviously to all the Galileans, "unless y'all see signs and wonders, y'all will not believe." The official is asking for a miracle for his dying son in an environment where people loved to see miracles. And this official seems to be asking for the same reason any unbelieving person would love to see a miracle. Namely, "I have a health need, so fix it." He does not say, "I have sin, please forgive it, and give me power to live for you." Unbelievers do not love God. Unbelievers simply use God for their own personal reasons. So Jesus bluntly says to the man that he and the other Galileans are sign seekers. "Unless you see signs and wonders, you will never believe," Jesus said. Now, interestingly, the official does not react to Jesus' charge. He simply repeats his request, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Neither John nor Jesus comments on this man's sincerity. Nor, please note, are we told anything. We are told nothing at all about whether or not the sick son had any faith. But Jesus simply gives that family a gift. Jesus said to the official, "Go, your son will live." And finally, John tells us that the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went on his way. What is absolutely remarkable about this is that the man had asked Jesus to come with him. But when Jesus simply spoke, "Go, your son will live," the man obeyed without any question. He believed Jesus' word, and he went home. He did not insist on seeing the miracle. He did not complain that Jesus would not come with him. Amazingly, he simply left, as John says, believing. The next day, we get the confirmation of the healing at the very hour when Jesus had spoken the word on the day before. And the confirmation of the healing of the son reestablishes this man's faith, and we are told that his entire household also believed. Well then, what are we going to make of this? What is Jesus really doing here? And what are these so-called signs in John all about? Fortunately, we do not have to guess at the answer. John himself tells us toward the end of his gospel account. John writes this, Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Jesus knew, and he knows, that human death and sickness were not part of God's plan or intention when he first created the universe, which we heard in the first lesson this morning. The Garden of Eden originally had no death, it had no sickness. But we human beings, by means of our first parents, Adam and Eve, brought both sickness and death into this world by our rebellion. So God assigned to his Son the job of fixing our fallen human situation. Namely, he sent his only begotten Son into this world to bring all creation back to its originally created state. But the kind of life which he is interested in giving consists of eternal life. It is a life that goes beyond the confines of this fallen world. And that is precisely why Jesus went around healing the sick and raising the dead. Precisely so that you and I could be as our first parents were in paradise. That is, without sin and without the consequences of sin. Consequences which include death itself. In fact, Jesus himself suffered all the pains of humanity in his human flesh, and he was put to death on a cross to pay the ultimate sacrifice and price for us human beings. And he himself was raised from the dead by God the Father, the firstborn of the dead, as the Apostle Paul describes him. And that means then, my friends, we now come to the very pinnacle, that is, to the very heart of our Christian faith. We confess it each Sunday in the creeds. Today, we sang it. In the Apostles' Creed, we say, I believe in the resurrection of the body. In the Nicene Creed, we confess, I look for the resurrection of the dead. We confess it each and every Sunday, but all too often we fail to let it be our hope and our comfort. The resurrection of the body, that is, our flesh, is the central hope of the Christian faith. It was true for Lazarus, whose resurrection from the dead is the seventh sign in John's gospel account, and it is also true for you and me yet today. My friends, our Lord Jesus Christ healed the sick, and he raised the dead because he had and he has great compassion for us human beings. To be sure, he also did other signs, but all of them were so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Such life includes the forgiveness of sins and life everlasting. Faith in the Holy Trinity results in your resurrection of the body when Christ will come again with his angels in order finally to claim us as his own and to live with him in eternity. That journey has already begun in the waters of holy baptism. You can count on the Holy Spirit keeping you firm in that faith until you die. And you can count on the Holy Spirit raising you from the dead at Christ's return. In both body and soul, let me repeat that again, in both body and soul, your destiny is to be with the risen Christ so that you may be his own and live with him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. Just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity, this is most certainly true. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stand. And now the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life eternal. Amen.
Amen.
We thank you for listening to this podcast from St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church, Sherman Center, in Random Lake, Wisconsin. If this podcast is of benefit to you, please consider supporting the work of St. John by visiting stjohnrandomlake.org, that's stjohnrandomlake.org, /support and give today.